Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Sunday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is November 29th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm excited to watch Mitch Trubisky play quarterback tonight.
Is that... Wow. Wow. Quite a declaration here at the top. Is that real? You are excited. Cautiously optimistic.
I mean, I don't think it could be any worse than what we've been seeing the last few weeks.
Yeah, the Broncos could use Mitch. I'll tell you that right now. They have no quarterbacks, apparently. All four.
What a mess.
I know. Well, so just as a point of order, we are recording this early Sunday, early-ish Sunday. We had no Friday show. This will be a short one, famous last words. A quick one. We're going to go over the match, the strategic alliance between the golf organizations on both sides of the Atlantic. A few other odds and ends, some news. And then we have a spotlight sponsored by Ruckit coming Monday. We'll release that Monday, likely morning, on Philip Mugleno, a.k.a. Mac O'Grady. You've been texting me furiously as you come upon another new tidbit here or there. You know, there's just, you said you might have more notes on Mac O'Grady than Ernie L. So there's a lot to chew on. We don't want, you know, these backed up against each other. So release that on Monday. This will be a shorter one on kind of the news and golf of the weekend. That makes sense?
Yeah, I can't wait to get into the Mac O'Grady.
Give us a tease. What's like one thing on O'Grady? You've sent me so much. Like, you know, we'll say it again for the spotlight, but just folks, you know, whet their appetite a little bit.
Oh, he's from L.A. He's playing in that 80.
Oh, come on. That's something more.
I know. I'm getting
or,
there. Okay. He's playing the 86 L.A. Open hometown event. At this point, he's refusing to speak to reporters. He just runs away from them whenever. He would regularly sprint from shot to shot on the golf course, but he would run away from reporters at this point. And someone reached him at the house he was staying at night. He was staying at a friend's home in Santa Monica. And he said, playing Riviera, it was like putting down a cobblestone road today. I had one putt of 3 feet for an eagle on the 11th hole that had 3 divot marks between my ball and the hole. I might as well have had 3 walnuts in my line. Riviera is no longer the course it was when Hogan and Snead were romancing about it, and it was one of the great courses. Since the Barranca is gone and the trees were neglected for years, and they have about 5,000 members, it's like a cheap public course. Riviera was once great, really great, but today it would make a good runway for LAX.
That's a good one. I have that in my notes as well. There are a lot of quotes critical.
Just to tie a bow on this, in when he attempted a comeback in 1990, he was miffed that he didn't get a sponsor's exemption from the LA Open at Riviera. And I just wonder why he might not have gotten one.
That's good. There's a lot of quotes, a lot of controversies. Obviously, a unique figure, played, you know, lefty, righty, wanted to enter, you know, be an amateur, have amateur status is from one side. So we'll have a lot on that on Monday. But can I give you one quote I found?
Yeah.
So you're early. If Bubba Watson, did you have this?
No.
So this is teaching. He was a teacher. Bubba Watson had to play with old equipment. He'd be caddying or shining shoes. Pretty aggressive after. Bubba's like one of those unique figures, like Mac, you know, he's kind of a field player, right? Bubba, I know he's got the power. I just, That's from a 2013 article. So he was teaching. It's like a 30-year run of just incendiary comments, controversies, unique approach, style. So that'll be coming Monday.
He finished fifth. We got to get out of this. But one last note. In 2010, at the Senior Australian Open, he finished T5th, and he played with wooden clubs from the 70s.
Unbelievable. All right, so look for that Monday. We'll have, you know, I suspect at least an hour on Mac O'Grady.
Probably an hour. Maybe more.
All right, results from the weekend. Christian Bezuidenhout wins the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek in South Africa. Very emotional, excited. I think this was the site of his first win, first appearance, first pro event maybe, or first event he played in against the pros. He came back on Sunday with a 69, finished 14 under. A lot of elephant content. My kids were enthralled with the elephants that kept coming up on the screen. And another good win. His second European Tour win, I believe. He's the one who went straight from the Masters to South Africa. He's the only one.
He jumped on the plane and got back
on the Euro Tour.
He beat Dick Bland.
He did beat Dick Bland. Richard Bland. Beat him by 4. Runaway.
I'll tell you what, if we ever did a, you know, who took a dump in Dubai?
Yeah.
Jaden Schaefer and Adrian Meronk. Prime candidate, 76 and 75 on Sunday to lose by 4.
I mean, isn't that Schaefer like 18? I think he's like 18 years old.
Yeah.
He's playing like Junior President's Cup or something recently. And Meronk bidding to become first Polak. I think that's right. Polak. Yeah, that's right. First Polak to win on the Euro Tour. You know, he played at East Tennessee State. Won 5 times at East Tennessee State. Straight from Warsaw to wherever.
Is Poland Eastern European? Is that considered East Europe?
Yes.
I bet he's probably inspired by the Bratislavan, all of his success in golf over the years. Oh.
Yeah, he's like 6'6". He's a fascinating character. I mean, there's like 2 dozen people in Poland to play golf. There's like 30 million people in the country, and like a couple dozen play golf. But yeah, maybe he'll create a Grow the Game, you know, movement in Poland.
So, you said your kids were enthralled by the animal content?
I mean, it came on the screen. My wife looks up and is like, oh, there's an elephant. Everybody, let's look at the elephants. Everybody starts looking at the elephants. Yeah, they got into it. That was the highlight of our Sunday morning. So,
hey, also, before, I don't want to get too much into your personal life, but your kid just was murdering that turkey, inflatable turkey.
Yeah, he's got...
He did that to something else, too.
He did that to the, I forbid ever getting inflatables. It's just, I think it's like a layup decoration. I think it's like people who do the inflatable thing probably love 460cc drivers, you know, that whole, like, it's just like kind of a easy way out. But the kids have got hooked me into inflatables. We got Halloween inflatables. We got a turkey inflatable. He just goes out and beats the hell out of everyone. I don't know. He's got an anger problem. He's also a little bit of a character, but. So Bezuidenhout wins.
That wasn't Mac, was it? Maybe he's following in the footsteps.
No, that was Sean. A little bit of a nut job on his own. Okay. Congrats. Anything else on the Leopard Creek Dunhill Championship?
I hope this gets more pub, you know, in the coming years.
Why?
with this murder.
Okay.
Prime animal.
Talk about that?
Prime animal content. Figure this is a layup for one of the key reasons. As one of our Twitter followers pointed out, one of the key reasons that this merger happened was to get the animal content from Leopard Creek
far flung corners of the globe, right? You know, you get the events in Thailand, you get the hippos maybe in South Africa, a lot of animal content. Maybe that's why Jay Monahan was drawn to this. You want to talk about this? We did a Instagram live on Friday morning just for 10-15 minutes and went after the news broke. But you know, the PGA Tour has entered into a strategic alliance with Keith Pelley's European tour. You know, the kind of big pieces out of the release that was very light on specifics, where Jay Monahan will have a seat on the board of the European tour. They took an ownership stake of some sort in the European tour media productions, getting more of that animal content, as you referenced. So those were kind of, it's light on specifics, you know, presumably.
News dump.
There will be some sort of schedule, you know, consolidation or cooperation, sounds like specifically in the Q4 area after the FedEx Cup. Eamon Lynch had an article with some reporting saying it was indeed a move to sort of head off PGL, who had also been in talks, or the representatives have been in talks with the European Tour as a potential partner on that side. That was sort of the reading of it, is like, this is, you know, kind of a banding together to hold off the PGL, which, you know, the PGA Tour is operating from a much more powerful place than the European Tour, right? But yeah, they view the PGL as a serious threat. I think they're probably a little anxious about it, or were, or I think probably still are. And this is a way to strengthen themselves, allegedly. That's the reading of it. So,
yeah, I think the biggest win will be the scheduling component, the cooperation. Mm-hmm. I imagine that we'll see less, you know, events going against each other that could split fields. It would be neat if they, you know, if with Rolex events, they started calling the tour events opposite field events those weeks, you know, and but you're not going to get
that's going to happen.
No, yeah. You're not going to get those guys to go over there for, you know, unless they really want to, or unless maybe there's FedEx Cup points online, because that's what
I know.
Drives
that's what
the
I'm
boat.
Worried about. We're going to get Courier Cup updates, the Scottish Open, and things, Irish Open, places like that.
It'd be amazing if they could unify those currencies, you know, Race to Dubai currency with the FedEx Cup currency, with the Korn Ferry currency, with the, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's becoming more and more apparent with the Canadian Tour, the Latin American Tour, the PGA Tour China. The tour wants to control all of competitive golf.
The world.
Yeah. It seems
except
like they
for the
won
the four most important events, which they can't and won't. Right? I mean, that's, but.
Or the
they
Ryder
are.
Cup.
I mean, that's, they're getting their fingers in the Ryder Cup with this. That's, I think that's kind of, you know, as someone who writes about golf and, you know, covers golf, that's one of the more interesting. There's all the business aspects behind the scenes and all that's going on with the PGL. But the schedule is exciting. I have great fear, concern, curiosity around what kind of impact they would have on the Ryder Cup now, right? I mean, can you say, like, you know, any player, if you're number five in the FedEx Cup, you get on the European side team? Like, what kind of weight and pressure do they put on that whole process? The great thing about the Ryder Cup, and I would say since, I don't know, 2008, somewhere in there, maybe it's 2099, I guess. Like, the Ryder Cup is hot. It's like pitch perfect. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing that needs to be fiddled with. Better venues, you know, that's a quibble that's often brought up. But like, as an event right now, it does not need to be messed with in any way. It's maybe the most compelling, exciting event in golf. Like, you just don't touch it. And I'm very concerned about what the dynamic is now that the PGA Tour will get their hands on, in some indirect way, maybe direct down the line, on this event. That's a slight concern or curiosity I have.
It seems like you're most concerned with the potential of Paul Casey sneaking onto the European team, your favorite player.
He was on it last time. You see Casey, flip-flopper. You know, he did his grandstanding with Saudi Arabia, his little, you know, pirouette. And now he's going. He's like, oh, I'm going to take a pass on this one. I have UNICEF on my bag. I have, you know, take the moral high ground. It's like, oh, 2 years later, fast forward, I'm going to Saudi Arabia. My guy, Paul Casey.
I saw some rumors that this was PGL-driven.
Casey is, wait, what? The Casey commitment, or what
the
are we talking
Casey
about?
The Casey flip flop, all of a sudden warming up to Saudi money.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yep, I don't know. I'm sorry, I forgot
who tweeted something about that. I apologize. That's not my take. I just want it to be. I forgot exactly who tweeted it.
Maybe it's a PGL player.
It might have been Huggin. It might have been somebody. Okay. I can't remember where, but
yeah. Okay. So I find the Ryder Cup thing. I'm curious to see how that will go. The schedule is really interesting. Are we pushing more towards a world tour? I have a fear that the European tour really becomes sort of like a Korn Ferry feeder tour. It might already be that. It kind of is. Operation and not name. But that concerns me, when there are sort of premier Euro Tour events opposite. What are they going to tell?
John Deere
PGA Tour, Memorial or whatever, Rocket Mortgage, 3M Open, John Deere. Are you now sort of the second tier event for that week? How's that going to go? And especially in Q4, those events are going to get wiped out. Sanderson, RSM. I would think they're going to become sort of second tier to some premier European Tour events, right? If they aren't already.
I mean, it would be really cool. There's potential where you could get more. This could be a way that they break from their system that I'm not a big fan of at this point, and you could get more into a free-flowing system where, if you're the 64th best player, you're going to be in the field, regardless of wherever you want to play, right? And I think that could be a benefit long-term of this, is maybe this helps them get out from their somewhat archaic system, the system that was created. And, it doesn't identify that, hey, the Will Zalatoris situation from this year would be a perfect example, where you're playing in PGA Tour events, you're a Korn Ferry Tour player, but you're the betting favorite. And, by any world rank, you're one of the best players in a field. Yet you're not on the year. Maybe this is a way that they can get away from that, and it allows Will Zalatoris to move from the Korn Ferry, easily play in some Euro Tour events that then quickly get him to the tour. That might be a neat benefactor of this. But that being said, I'm not 100% sold this is a good move by the PGA Tour. They just essentially bought into a business that does the exact same thing they do, but does it worse. They don't make as much money. They have, if you're a top player in Europe, you go and play in America, with the exception of a few Belgians, in Westie. Right. If you're really good, you go play for $8 million a week on the PGA Tour. So, outside of control, and then, the ability to expand some partnerships, I imagine, a lot of the brands that sponsor the PGA Tour are concerned with, hey, do you have international offerings that we can spend more money on? This gives them more offerings to give them. But that being said, I just don't see what taking on a bunch of, a business that was not by any means growing and thriving like the PGA Tour, taking on that business is a huge benefit when you could have just done it yourself, really.
What do you mean? Just started making a global tour?
I mean, they already have. They got the Asian swing. They're kind of already were doing, they're already encroaching. I don't know.
This isn't a move done. It seems like it's not. This isn't a merger or an investment done from desire, I would say, first and foremost. It's done from the European Tour is wounded and there's a threat in the PGL. And so they do it. And now's the time. And it is probably pretty cheap. And it's also considered to be some sort of wall or additional fortification against the PGL. It's not like this was done out of hey, this will be. I'm sure they thought that there are good reasons to do it, but there are also those sort of compelling, outside influences. So this
is where they should use the opportunity to make some tweaks to their competition, and what a PGA Tour player is, because that would be a way for you with this to use it against the PGL in a way where the PGL is going to operate a different business, completely different product than what you're offering, and they double down on their product. So I don't think it really impacts the PGL that much. This does not kill the PGL. But
yeah, we saw people proclaiming it's dead, it's done, like they did when, like, these guys have spent like a decade allegedly, you know, working on this.
Think about like if taxis heard about Uber, you know, and they're like, oh, we got to stop Uber, so we're just going to buy up a bunch of smaller taxi companies, and we're going to stop Uber by doing this, you know?
Yeah.
That doesn't work, because Uber was just a completely different product, you know? And obviously people are going to say, like, Uber doesn't work. Like, what? Uber is more successful than any taxi cab company is, you know, has ever been.
Saudi money in it, too. Yeah. A lot of parallels there with your I think the PGL doesn't have a product, right? It's on this paper. It's tweeting, like, what are you thankful for golf or whatever that, like... Now, they're pretty far along, I would think. They've done a lot of years. Like, from all our understanding, is like they're kind of close to being ready to push the button. Like, they've gotten pretty far. And apparently that was why they were approaching the European Tour. They wanted some more of that infrastructure of just being able to, you know, event organization and things like that, being able to just go. But, yeah, it doesn't have a product. I understand. I appreciate your point, right? So the PGA Tour just doubled down on what they already have. The PGL is offering just something entirely different.
Yeah, so it has no bearing, I don't think, outside of like just the ability for the PGL to get upright quickly with the European Tour and then, you know, gut it and change what they want to do. Like, outside of that, it shouldn't really impact them. Like, what do you really need to start a golf tour? Like, that's the other thing. You don't, like, need a lot. You need prize money. You know, you just need money.
Yeah. It sounds like they have that.
Yeah, like the barriers to entry into golf tour is not that high.
Members.
You need to get, like, granted, you need the best players, but if you start running really good tournaments, like, you're probably going to get better players. Like, that's just the way it works, right?
Yep.
If you open a restaurant and the food's really good, you're going to get people eating there.
Players seem excited about this alliance, notably the Euros. You know, Rory, Ian Poulter, very excited about this alliance. You know, I'm sure they always felt uncomfortable, you know, having to go back and forth, or obviously being primarily PGA Tour players. You know,
I wonder if Rory was the broker of the deal, if the Prince of Pontevedra, you know, formerly the Duke of Wentworth. You know, if that... Does he have dual royalty, do you think, across the pond?
Good. He could, although he's taken some shots at the European Tour setups and all that in the last year or two. So, all right, let's do an ad read. Anything else on the alliance? I mean, it's notable. We're moving. The European Tour was in a rough go, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
It's notable. It would be great if we had some sort of world tour. It'd be great if this provokes more innovation, like you're talking about, in terms of competitions and things that don't all look like 72-hole stroke play events with the 75th guy and the FedEx Cup going against the 130th guy. You know, that doesn't get it done. So, yeah, if it provokes more innovation, then that's great. All right, let's do an ad read for Weatherman, the Weatherman umbrella. I used mine again this weekend. It was warm, temperate, but rainy.
I'll tell you what. So I never have had a umbrella in my car, but I got a little one, one of the smaller ones. I don't know exactly what size it is. But I got that, and it's like perfect. It's in my car. It was just pissing rain the other day, and I just popped it up. It was like I hadn't used it yet. It was wonderful, and the great thing is it's just in my car all the time now. I never have to. So it's another reason to have, you know, an umbrella, not
what
just a golf umbrella.
Last time, fire extinguisher and an umbrella. Everybody should have that. And look, they came to us. It was like, umbrellas, I don't know. They sent one. I was like, this is the greatest thing, the greatest gift I've ever gotten. So if every golfer, you know, everybody's just doubling up. Do you need another, you know, you need more golf socks? What do you need? Like, I think an umbrella is like a unique lane. You can find it. So it's Golf Digest Editor's Choice Award for Best Umbrella the last 3 years.
Listen.
Tested in 55 mile an hour winds. It's sturdy. It's like a, it's a heavy
It was
duty.
Designed by a weatherman. That's why it's called weatherman. Like, that's who you want designing your umbrella.
What a fact. An umbrella facts. I saw a friend of the program outside the cut bought one. He said we should become weatherman, weather umbrella salesman if the podcast doesn't work out. He got the Virginia Tech one. Yeah, he must be a Hokie. So they do have some college collection. Penn State finally got on the board
Hokies
with the win.
Hokies had a big
they,
win. Hokies had beat Villanova college basketball last night.
Oh, hoops. Yeah.
Or BC two nights ago.
Get that done Wednesday. Yeah. We were texting about that. But they got Penn State, Alabama. They got teams, you know, all sorts of college collection. They got Arnold Palmer collection. Arnold Palmer, you know, maybe the coolest looking umbrella in golf. They go 62 inches, 68 inch canopy. They got the littler guys, like you talked about.
If you're a thick boy, go for the 68 incher. If you're Bryson, Bryson probably has a 68 inch umbrella.
I feel like an alpha dad on the sideline of some of these kids' sporting events if you got the big golf umbrella. And it's just like a great walking stick too if you don't even have, you know, you kind of strut down the sidelines. All right, we have 20% off. Code is fried egg.
All caps.
20%
no
off.
No space.
These are legit badass umbrellas. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's the honest to God truth after getting one.
Weatherman umbrella.com. Weatherman umbrella.com. Fried egg.
Is 20% off. All right. Other news. We did the strategic alliance. Other results, I guess. Match 3. Champions for change. Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley kind of wipe out Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. There were ample social media coverage of this on Friday. I was a little bit in and out, getting Christmas tree and things like that. A lot of talk about Barkley swaying. A lot of talk about Steph Curry not playing up to a plus one. I just don't understand how they were underdogs, the team with Phil Mickelson. Phil, you ever play with, you know, Phil's like when you go out and you're like 7 years old and this guy's just, some, you know, dad or a coach or somebody's just telling you like every single thing you got to do. He seemed to be getting obnoxious. Maybe Charles wanted him to do that, but it seemed like maybe at times he didn't. It was just like a little bit too much. Like, all right, man, leave me alone. I'm just going to hit the ball. It was fine. It was a nice little bit of a candy, empty calorie match content on Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, for what
course
this thing
is. Course was ridiculous. The course was absurd.
Awful.
Absurd.
Abomination of a golf course.
I would have gone through a dozen golf balls, I think, if I played there. Just looking at it. That's how you make Curry and Peyton, guys who are like legit, you know, pretty good golfers, they look like total schmucks. Because there's just like,
it's on a lost ball when you miss the fairway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so perfect that Phil just bought the course. I liked it so much that I bought it. These things are fine. Like, this is fine. It's enjoyable. It's different. You know, like, there's definitely a market for this type of golf. Is it like the bare bones competition? Is it like watching, you know, Michael Thompson come down the stretch and get it done? No.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. And the other thing is it brings in a different fan. It, without a doubt, appeals to a different golfer. Like, I get texts from like people that I don't even know watch golf asking me what I think about it, you know? And I think at the end of the day, Phil is a very good character for this. I think the fact that he was playing as a plus five and Curry was a plus one, four shots. Yeah. This is like one of the 20 best golfers of all time versus a guy that is an NBA basketball player. Like,
right.
There's no way he's a plus five. Like, if I, like Skinny Vinny, when I play with Skinny Vinny, I need like at minimum six shots to even have a chance. I never really have a chance against him. And he's not Phil Mickelson.
Right, right.
You know, like, it's insane that that was the case. And then, like, the format, like, alternate shot totally plays into, if you play real alternate shot, if you have a better player, the best player is at an advantage with the worst player because the worst player gets such a, you know, like, part of the reason you're 25 is because you hit bad shots and then you hit worse shots. Like, with alternate shot, that eliminates the worst shot, you know? Yeah. Like, Phil isn't going to hit a worse shot after Barkley hits a bad shot. Like, and right. that's why 25s are 25s, is they compound mistakes.
I think there was a hole in there that was a scramble, which is just like an auto win,
yeah.
you know, more or less for Phil. So one thing I think I did like.
The other thing, 10 shots ahead. For Peyton Manning is actually more egregious than the Curry thing.
Right.
Go on.
I think I enjoyed, and this isn't, I don't know that you do this every time. I did enjoy sort of the, this gets to what we were just talking about, the different sort of skill sets, like the spectrum playing in one match, being able to relate or see, or like this Phil, this, you know, unique all-time historic talent with Charles Barkley, who's, you know, a very high handicapper, not a good player, but there's something exciting and interesting when he can pull something off, or he does lag putt it pretty well, or he lags putt it horribly, right? That like, and then like the middle of the road, the very good, very, very good player in Steph Curry, how that matches up against, you know,
who played very, very poorly.
He did not play well. And Peyton Manning, you know, a low handicap player who's, you know, fairly good at the club or wherever. I kind of enjoyed that spectrum and seeing that on display, because there's added drama to when they are able to pull it off, or maybe it goes horribly awry. And then there's obviously that standard of Phil at the very top of it. So I don't know that you do that every time, but I thought that was kind of an interesting twist, as opposed to, say, you know, the driving relief one where it's like Rory, DJ, Wolf, and Ricky kind of thing.
The suspense of Barkley hitting a shot is like amazing, because you literally have no clue what's going to happen ever. And then Phil yeah. over clubbing him the first hole.
We got a lot of mentions about that. People lighting us up about Phil.
I used to do that all the time when I caddied. I'd tell people yeah. like 15 extra yards, because it like... You know, most like 25 handicaps, they never hit it as far as they think they're going to hit it. You know, it's like you just tell them extra yardage and you'll get them to hit right. the right club. But that was right. great. I think, like, in general, one of the things that worked really well, too, with this was having Barkley and Steph and Iguodala, like, those guys all are really comfortable with each other and ribbing each yeah. other, which works yeah. really well, because like all of them speak, you know, basketball, and like they have like that basketball trash talk that they can take to, you know, the mm-hmm. golf course. And I thought that worked really well. I like these things, and I'd like to see more of them around holidays. Like, and I think you could get, it's a really nice little product.
Yeah. Is it sustainable, though? Like, or is it just kind of like a 5-year run and we do these and then they really lose their appeal? Because that's the whole thing, like, oh, this is going to disrupt the whole marketplace of professional golf or things like that. And that they say that about the PGL. I saw someone was tweeting about the Skins game, and like the last one, it was like Fred Couples, Stephen Ames, Brett Wetterich.
Well,
and like Zach John, these things just kind of run their course. Same with Monday Night Golf. We've done, you know, David Duval. We've done the spotlights on that. I like them. I just like, what's sustainable, or does it even need to be sustainable? Just do it until it burns out, kind of thing.
I think the key is to create variety and not allow it to get stale in what you're doing. Like, you need to, you know, do different formats, have different players, have different voices in there. When you get to the point where it becomes redundant, it's like, oh, we're doing another one of these. Like, you know, there's only so much material for, you know, that they can run over every time. So I think that's the key. And I think when it comes to, like, this is not going to disrupt professional golf. This is a completely different product. Like, this would be like saying Top Golf is going to eliminate the need for any golf course to exist. It's like, well, it's still not the same thing. Like, it might lead to some golf courses closing, but, you know, it's not going to end golf courses' existences.
Yeah. And yes, getting more people interested in swinging a golf club at a golf ball is a good thing. I think it does that, like you alluded to, because, hey, the regular PGA Tour fan is old and dying off, or, you know, it just getting more people involved is good.
I think they got to just focus on personalities. That's the key. Because we saw, like, like what has worked and what hasn't worked. Like what's worked really well is big personalities that can carry, because there's a lot of downtime. You have to have personalities that carry the coverage, right?
Yeah. I just, yes. That I thought it wasn't going to work. It sounded hard at first. You know, they're bringing in Shaq and Kenny and Ernie and they're remote. And then these guys are walking with headsets. They're like, God, this is going to be really hard. And it's like stilted, you know, and it worked. By the end, they were like humming, right? They're all trash talking. At the start, I was like, oh, man, this is really hard to execute. But it did come off pretty well. The one thing, and I say this, you know, I realize I'm the very small hardcore golf fan corner. I would have just liked to seen a better course as a backdrop. I know the course is secondary. But like it just made it harder for the guys Peyton and like if it's
and
I don't
it was
know,
like
Pebble
a hole
Beach
a hole something. Would be like over before it started,
right? And you know we heard the word picturesque a lot. That was the word of the day. But like just do it. I don't know, Pebble Beach. That's too expensive. Something like that where there's like an added layer to it, and maybe you know, or of course it's just not as penal to the guys that aren't tour players. All right, good. You know, it was fine. It was good event. I was entertained. Any other news? I have DJ is withdrawing from Mayakoba. Stunner
of a most predictable thing that's happened in 2020.
He's, you know, got tequila soaked green jacket. He's not gonna be able to make it down to Mayakoba. I begrudge him nothing on that. Do you? I mean, he gave him advance notice. I know we all hail Jordan Spieth 2015 as being like this ultimate gentleman for going to play Harbortown after he won the Masters, and that was great. But I don't begrudge anyone if they back out of a tournament after winning the Masters.
If I put myself in that situation and I made something like whatever $20+ million golfing the last 6 months, and I won my Masters in November, and given 2020 and all the shit, like going down to Mexico, I might just say, you know what? I'm going to spend some time with my family and enjoy the holiday season. And I think anybody that says they wouldn't do that, I might be welcome to have a long conversation with you about it just to understand the perspective.
We'll get into more Mayakoba stuff on Wednesday. Anything else for this special Sunday episode? You good?
No, I can't wait. We got a big week of podcasts. So you didn't know you needed 4 or 5 episodes from the Shotgun Start, but you're getting them.
We got Mac O'Grady. We got a U.S. Women's Open spotlight coming at some point this week, maybe weekend, and then U.S. Women's Open coverage next week. And then maybe year review. December rolls on. We're chugging along. So everyone look out for the Mac O'Grady spotlight. Thank you for your continued support. Oh, Black Friday. We got the Black Friday Cyber Monday sale. That's continuing on in the pro shop. Appreciate your support there. Do I need to add anything specific?
20% off. We got some sharp belts. We got all kinds of stuff. So
belts, head covers, hoodies are selling out a little bit.
I think
the hoodies
and the thick boy caps are pretty much gone. There's some thick boy sizes in the hoodies left.
Thick boy sizes. All right. Thank you guys for your support. Hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. And we'll be back Monday with Mac O'Grady.